Good morning and welcome again to Crosslink Radio. This is Shirley Gutkowski, your host of the show that talks about health from the eye teeth on down that helps you be a better you. I am also would like to announce my business that's opening here in Sun Prairie the 1st of March. And we're going to be seeing patients on the internet and in person at my location on Main Street here in Sun Prairie. I think orofacial myofunctional therapy is going to be the linchpin to just about every health ailment that we have. Is that a broad enough brush? So I'm very excited. I was in the class again this past weekend as it was being held in Chicago, and I was very excited to know all of the kinds of people that were in the class. There were probably 40 people, 50 people in the class this time. There were people from sleep dentistry. There were physical therapists. There were a lot of dentists this time, and even a couple of orthodontists. That was kind of interesting to have their perspective in there. So I would encourage you to take a look around and give me a call or email me at Shirley at Crosslink Radio if you'd like more information and where to find me in person or to do some online training. That is the big news and the big story. The other big news and big story is March 17th, World Day of Orofacial Myofunctional Therapy, is coming up on February 17th. Mark your calendar because I'll be doing a special, a two-hour special featuring some of the people that we've had on our show already and some new people to illustrate the breadth of help you can achieve by visiting and doing the training and the techniques that you'll learn from an orofacial myofunctional therapist. I don't know that there's another one near me here, and if there is one, yahoo, and then there'll be two. There's plenty of work for everybody. So I'm anxious to get started with all of that and start seeing patients with this new eye towards the airway. So with that being said, let's take a tiny little announcement break and move on with how to use mouthwash and should we be using mouthwash.
If you enjoy the content and point of view, please leave a favorable review on Stitcher, iTunes, or Blog Talk Radio. To have Shirley be your personal oral health coach, you can reach out to her via email, shirley@crosslinkradio.com. And now, back to the show.
So I was asked not too long ago about mouthwash, and there seems to be kind of a flood of mouthwash stuff, and then it kind of goes back a little, and then it surges up again and goes back a little again. And then I came back from Florida after the Career Fusion event, and I came back with a snotty nose, and it was dripping down the back of my throat and making my throat sore. And I was using the xylitol nasal spray as a treatment as opposed to a preventive. And when you have a cold, when you have a lot of mucus and you're trying to use xylitol, you cannot overdo it. I want to be sure that I get that said. You absolutely cannot overdo it. So what I have to do then, and what I would recommend that you do, is use the xylitol nasal spray almost after every time you blow your honker and gargle with xylitol mouthwash often, like 5 or 8 times a day, a lot. So that got me to thinking about mouthwash again, too, and the potential benefits of mouthwash and gargling. And gargling even came up in the OMT class this past weekend as being a lost art. Gargling can really stimulate that soft palate muscle that's kind of making all the noise when you're snoring and can give it some extra tone and can also bubble up. This is the way that Joy Moeller said it during the class. She says it cleans out the shelf that's behind the soft palette. So if you go right now to Google Images and you you take a look at the images of the soft palette, you will see that it kind of droops down. Okay, so you have the palate of your mouth, the roof of your mouth, and it's hard, 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 and then it gets soft. That's the muscle. Then it turns into a uvula. If you go up and back above that, there's a tricky spot there for stuff to get stuck and for things to happen up in there. And gargling can really loosen the living daylights out of everything that's up there. So if you're using a xylitol nasal spray for treatment as opposed for prevention, then using the xylitol gargle or one of the other gargles, if you want, if you're, you know, opposed to xylitol or whatever, anyway, and gargle that, even salt water, numerous times, you're going to break up that biofilm and that mucus that's collecting up there, and that will help get rid of your sore throat really, really super duper fast. So how do you gargle? Let's talk about, well, you know what, let's save that for a second, because I want to just talk about mouthwash in general and what is the number one selling mouthwash, and should we be really that twisted up about mouthwashes and which one should we use and which one's the best one and all that. Guess which one's number one? Listerine. Can you believe it? Do you think it might have anything to do with the amount of advertising you see for Listerine as compared to any other mouthwash? Advertising doesn't cost, it pays. Do you need Listerine? Should you use Listerine over all the others? I don't know. Listerine has some really dynamite qualities. The earliest brand, the earliest version in the yellow, the newer versions that come in all these flavors and colors and has all these attributes are also pretty good. Listerine is not a bad product. That it has alcohol is not a bad thing. The alcohol is not the active ingredient in most of these mouthwashes. They have other active ingredients. Most of the time, the active ingredient is in the form of an oil. And in order for the oil to be uniformly throughout the entire bottle, it's mixed at some weird temperature and some weird speed with the alcohol. And that's what allows it to be uniform throughout the bottle. Okay? So all the people that know that Dr. Lister created Listerine for a hand wash and now we're putting it in our mouth, rah, 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 that's the same as the chlorhexidine mouthwash that we're using as a prescription. That was developed also as a hand wash, and it was now it is removed from all hospitals as a hand wash. So we're stuck with using that as a mouthwash. So just to give you a little bit of background. So Listerine is the number one seller. It's very good mouthwash. If you can stand it in your mouth for a whole 30 seconds or 90 seconds or whatever is the recommended time allotment for that, yahoo for you. The second most sold, let's see, millions of U.S. dollars. I have this graph that I stole from Statistica on the career on the CrossLink Radio website for this episode, and you can see that the number two seller at $203.5 million in sales as compared to $330 million in sales for Listerine is called private label. These are all of the sundry little private label mouthwashes that are made throughout the country, including your dentist's favorite, you know, Dr. Underpants mouthwash, stuff like that. Those are all under private label. The third one there, though, is another little crack up because it's Listerine Ultra Clean. So it's another version of the Listerine. And then Crest Pro Health Multi-Protection comes in behind that. And then we have another Listerine. So in the top one, two, three, four, five, three of them are Listerines. Interesting. Biotin, surprisingly, also has a pretty high sales rate at almost $53 million in sales. These are 2014 statistics. And Scope Outblast. Scope is actually still on here with just over $31 million in sales. So what does mouthwash do? Well, when it's created the way that some of these are, it will penetrate into a biofilm because it has attributes that are wetting agents and have other attributes that allow it to enter in a biofilm and starts to kill off the bacteria. And sometimes it's easier to get a liquid into an area than it is to brush properly. Think of your tongue. How many times do you brush your tongue or clean your tongue or the cheeks on the inside or this or that? There's plenty of areas that are easy to miss when you're brushing your teeth. So the mouthwash can address some of those things. And, you know, in order to sell it, they have to talk about things like fresh breath and blah, 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 and all this stuff because people don't like to think about germs in their mouth. So the marketing message may be a little bit off topic from what it is that we want to see or have in a mouthwash. So what do you do with a mouthwash? So if everybody remembers Oscar Madison, Felix Unger, rather, and how he used to honk around trying to clear his sinuses, that's exactly what garlic. Wow, I'm just all over the place today. That's exactly what gargling can do. There are a couple of ways to gargle. And as I was gargling, trying to get rid of this mucus problem that I had brought home from Florida, I tried a couple of different ways. And my goal was to get the xylitol, the spray, it was in this case, the spray mouthwash down into my throat as far as it would go, and then create a airway. So you would take in air through your nose after you blow your honker. Then you would put a little bit of the mouthwash into your mouth and lean your head back and suck in some air and then blow the air out through your mouth. And that creates bubbles. And as those bubbles explode, little tiny flecks, little atomized flecks of the mouthwash get up behind the soft palate and start to penetrate that biofilm, give it some moisture, get it a little easier to flow. And doing that for as long as possible. So this is how I was doing it. I would take in some air. I would take a little bit of the mouthwash. I would blow like I was like that. And then I would then do that as long as that one lung full of air would last. Then I would tip my head forward again, breathe in through my nose, lean back, and do that same sequence again. I would do it until I either swallowed all of it or I would spit it out. So then I would do that again. So I would try to do it like a lot in a short period of time. And then I thought, I'm going to try to do it with a little bit of sound. So I did. And I found that seemed to help a little bit more than using just the air. So instead of blowing air out like this, I would go, and try to make the lowest sound that I could. Somehow that allowed the mouthwash to get down a little bit lower, break up the mucus that was piling up around my tonsils and my throat. And I don't know that it made it all the way down to the vocal folds, but that's where that all was. And I was able to get, it felt as though there was more mouthwash getting up behind into the sinuses from the back, and then get the puffs. Because all of a sudden, everything's going to let go. You're going to feel it just either running down your throat. You might even have to spit it out. Or you can just start really blowing and blowing and blowing and filling up one tissue after another. So that is how to use mouthwash when you're sick. I don't get sick. I didn't miss anything. I just had this mucus problem. So preventively, I'm not very good at using mouthwash. But if you were on an airplane, if you were in a daycare center where there's snot and spit everywhere, if you were at a long-term care facility and the air is just heavy, you can taste it at these long-term care facilities, gargling would be an awesome adjunct for you to keep your airway bacteria count lower and be more healthful. Will it help your teeth? Probably. But for my thinking and the way that I would be using a mouthwash, unless I had, I don't know, some mouth sores or something, I would definitely use the gargling and get more acclimated to the gargling. So here's an article from 2014. Mouthwash marketers to America, you could use a swish. So obviously they're talking about how mouthwash is being marketed to the United States. And Listerine at that time had launched a Heroic Habits campaign on television. I don't remember. So, you know, there you go. Although I don't watch classic TV very much anymore, we're streaming all of our shows anymore, so we don't do that. Then let's see. So they really do. Listerine, when you talk to the people at Listerine, and I have talked to some of the scientists there, they know that they're improving your health. This is not a game for them. They are motivated by your health, and oh yeah, we can make some money at it. That to them is really upfall. It's just a secondary feature of selling a product that they know is going to help you keep your health improved longer. So I think that's true of probably all of these mouthwash makers, especially the personal branded ones. So I think that there's room for mouthwash. Which one should you use is the one that you like. There are attributes and disattributes in a lot of them. There's one in particular that dental hygienists seem to have a problem with. It has stannous fluoride in it, and it does stain the teeth a little, but they've added something to make sure that the stain doesn't stay. So now we have, you know, piling on to cover up problems with it in the first place. Scope is still out there, as I mentioned, and I'm going to leave it at that. I was just thinking of a George Carlin comment about breath, but I'll just leave it at that. And you can email me at Shirley@crosslinkradio.com if you want me to remind you or tell you what the comment was from our friend George Carlin. So there we have it, another episode of Crosslink Radio in the can. Have a great rest of the day, and what the heck, have a good weekend too. And we'll see you next week for another episode of Crosslink Radio, and I hope to tell you more about my exploits with my building my new business. Have a good weekend.